Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 14. 1 Corinthians chapter number 14. Once you arrive there, I want you to find verse number 33. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33. Then if you would stand, everybody, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 33, we're going to read one verse, we're going to turn a couple of pages and read another verse, and then I'll talk to you about this thing of avoiding failure in regard to the projects that you take on in life. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33, it says this: "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints." Now, I want you to turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and find verse number 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. And here the Bible says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." Now let's pray. Lord, the sermon tonight is very down to earth, very practical. But God, we take on seemingly projects continuously. For many, there's a new project every week. There are work projects and home projects and spiritual projects. Help us tonight to learn some of the simple steps, some of the logical parts of a successful project. Help us to use the scripture to succeed in our everyday life, every venture, whether it's at home or at church or at work or at school. Help us to learn something tonight that will make us better examples to this lost and dying world. And then, Father, help us to learn something tonight that will glorify you as a result. Holy Spirit of God, take the sermon and use it, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Noah took on a pretty big project, and he succeeded. The walls of Jericho was a pretty big project. They had a day called the Day of Pentecost. I want you to know, I do not think that they woke up one day and God said, "Hey, let's just go have a Pentecost," and it all fell into place. I think there was far more to it than that. You look at any project in the Bible and you will see that God had a way of guiding and directing. And there are things that work and things that will not work when it comes to your projects of life. Now, again, I'm talking about a church activity that we've got lots of ministries and classes and bus routes and clubs and so many things. If you want to do well with a project for your ministry, I'll show you some things that will help you. Home projects. We do a lot of things around our homes and with our homes. Our businesses. And remember, any project worth doing is worth doing right. If you listen there in 1 Corinthians 10:31, the Lord said, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." And so that means everything to God is to be done right. Everything is to be done well. Again, that verse that I read from 1 Corinthians 14:33, it says that God is not the author of confusion. I don't think God wants what I'd call our projects or the tasks that we take on in life. I don't think He wants them confused. I think He wants them to have a certain peacefulness to them. I watch so many people take on projects and it's hectic. And it's confusing. And let me tell you something. If you don't get certain things together for a project, there's possibility of offenses and failures, and you hurt people. A lack of organization on your part does not constitute an emergency on the part of everybody else involved. And some people are that way, though. And so I think when we organize and when we get a plan for whatever we do, it helps us not to hurt ourselves. It helps us not to hurt our testimony. It helps us not to hurt other people. So, if I may, I'm going to make some very simple applications, but I want to talk to you about how we could avoid failure in whatever project we take on. Let me tell you this. When I talk about avoiding failure, failure is not I don't want to fail, and I don't want you to fail, but let me tell you something. Failure tends to be an important ingredient to success. Success, in my opinion, seems to be a series of failures that are educational that tend then to teach you how not to do it, so eventually you figure out how to do it. And really think about it. That's how you learned how to walk. You failed and failed, and a few of you, you fail, you hit your head. That's why many of you have such flat foreheads. And you tried and you failed and you tried and you failed. And if I don't know if you'll remember back, but I can tell you, boy, there was a mama and you kind of pulled yourself up on a chair and you started to take a step, and you would have thought you had just run a 3-minute mile. You'd taken 3 steps, but mom's crying and dad's videotaping, and there are so excited. But the way you learn how to take that first few steps is you got up and you fell, and then you tried again and you fell. And that's how you learn to ride a bike. That's how you learn to eat. When you first started eating, you could not find your food hole. Your mom, you know, and then you thought, what in the world's this spoon or fork for? This is stupid. You can get right in there with your hands. And you don't even have to use your hands. You can pour the whole bowl on your face and liquor off the table if you have to. That's what dogs are for. They'll clean up what's left over, or put me down there. I'll eat it. I mean, I put it down there. I can get on the floor and eat it. But I look around this congregation, and it is very obvious to me you learned how to eat. But success is virtually a series of failures, and then we figure out how. I would never claim to know a lot about prayer. I would tell you this. I felt like I failed at it and failed at it and failed at it and failed at it. And I began to learn from some of my failures, and I learned, and I added a little of this and add a little of that, and I figured this out. And for some time in my Christian life, I got to wondering, is God listening to anything that I request? And then all of a sudden, some things started coming my way, and I said, maybe we're figuring this out. And so I think there are some things that help us in regard to avoiding the failures in life. It's not bad to fail if you will learn from that failure. And if the failure ceases to be a failure, but it becomes a stepping stone toward the process of success, then I guess that's good. So let's learn from it now. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. I have 6 points. Let me give them to you. If you want to avoid failure with the project, first of all, you've got to be properly prepared. Preparation has a lot to do with success. The Bible says in Luke 14:28, it mentions the importance of counting the cost. And so if you want to succeed, there is proper preparation for any project. What is that? That's a plan. Did you know that God has your life totally planned out? And right there in that book is a blueprint. There are a lot of details in there. And one of the ways you'll succeed is to get in the book and let God lead you. That's a plan. If you would take the time, and you might consider it a less interesting part of the Bible, but if you took a look at the Noah and the Ark, there are a lot of details given. If you looked at the Old Testament tabernacle that was being built, there was a lot of details given, all the way down to what color of fabric to use and what kind of wood to use in certain places. It was incredible. There's some planning that went on. You just look at what we would call the end times and some of the things that will happen in the end times. Did you know there's a schedule of events? Now, we all look at it as this scary thing. God's got it. It's all on His calendar. It'll pop up on His telephone, and it'll say, we're doing this on this day, and this on this day, and this on this day. It's all planned out. And so you understand, if you want to succeed at any project, there's got to be proper preparation. Most failure comes from a lack of preparation. And that means there are some details. Did you know that the details that are worked out in advance help your project? Many times, details that are not worked out in advance become a problem. They slow things down. So, I think if you will, whatever the project is, sit down, get a plan, think about what you're going to do. Be properly prepared. You can't prepare for everything. And I know that, and you know that. But you can prepare for some things, and you should prepare. We've got businessmen in this building. Every one of them would tell you one of the most wonderful things they can do before they go to a job is think about, what will I need to get that job done? There's nothing like having to get a ladder out to climb up on a roof, to get a ladder up on the roof, to climb in a hole, to get way back into the back of somebody's house and get back in there and say, I need a tool. And it's down the ladder, out across the yard, in my truck, back home to the garage to see if I can find it. Nothing more frustrating. So what helps us? Preparation. Planning. You won't think of it all. But the more planning, the better off you'll be. So, if you want to avoid failure with any project, you young people at school, you're going to do a project. Set down a plan. Get a plan. Okay? Secondly, you have to know the difference between good faith and bad risk. Good faith and bad risk. Romans 14:23 says, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now, I think faith is one of the ingredients to success. I don't know where I heard it. Most of the things I learned from my parents. But it may have been Dad that said, there's a fine line between faith and stupidity. Some people are not careful with faith. There are some things that we ought to invest our faith in. And there are some things that are just bad risks in life. Faith is an ingredient to success. But faith, there's some proper preparation that's a part of it. There's some proper calculation that's a part of it. Now, there's some advanced troubleshooting and solving that's a part of it. You see, faith steps out on some preparation to let God work. I hope you all understand this. Faith is not having $0 and no gas in your car and deciding to head to California from North Carolina. I have faith. Well, give me a call and I'll bring my gas of sight by and fill your tank later on if you're not careful. See, some people take faith to a level that's not how God wanted you to think. God will build on and help, but He expects a little something out of you. You see, I get as prepared as I can, and then I act upon my preparation by faith in God. Did you know that if I do what I can then turn to God and say, God, I'm not asking for spiritual welfare. I'm not asking you to do for me what I could do for myself. I've started. I'm doing the best I can. Can you help? And God will build upon my preparation, and God will build on my effort. So I think you do what you can in a project, and you get yourself prepared. And then you have to act on faith. But there is a difference in good faith and bad risk, and there's a fine line between faith and stupidity, and there are just sometimes we just think, well, if I have faith, it's all going to happen. Now listen, sometimes I think we want to exercise faith in God, then get mad at Him when He wasn't asking us to put faith in that project. He was asking us to do something about that project. Faith isn't a way for you to get out of doing your part. You'll have to do your part in many, many things. So, be properly prepared. That's my first point. Number two, we've got to learn the difference between good faith and bad risk. And you need the wisdom of God so you know what is a good, something that's good to invest your faith in, and what is something that is just totally outrageous and it's not something God would have us to do. Number three, this may be the most important part. I said, number one, be properly prepared. Number two, know the difference between good faith and bad risk. Number three, work hard. Work hard. If you want to succeed, if you want to avoid failure in any project, just work hard. Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 4, it speaks this way. It says, the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Now, fatness in the Bible was a picture of prosperity. That means that you're going to have plenty. And so, when God says, the soul of the diligent shall be made fat, the word diligent there would be a lot equivalent to our word hard work or labor. And so here, the one that labors is going to expand, or they're going to succeed. Now, if I will properly prepare, if I'll make my act by faith, but it's a good thing to put my faith in, not some silly thing, then if I'll work hard, success could be on the horizon. Maybe this is the greatest ingredient in avoiding failure. You say, Brother Owens, I'm just not talented. I'll be very honest with you. I don't know a whole lot of naturally talented people. You might listen to Rachel play the piano and you say, boy, I wish I had her talent. That's not talent. That is hard work. Rachel, when she was a little girl, started playing the piano and sat at that piano and worked at it and worked at it and worked at it and probably drove her mama crazy on that piano and played that piano and played that piano and played that piano. And what you call talent is hard work. Most things at which people succeed, it didn't come naturally. They worked at that thing. We have some people that are in the field of mechanics in here, and they're good at it. Well, God didn't. They just didn't wake up one day and say, wow, I'm a good mechanic. They worked at it, and they worked at it, and they worked at it, and they worked at it. You say, well, I don't have a lot of training. Okay, get what training you can. I'm very much for training, but I will tell you this. No training does not have to stop you from succeeding, because what you don't have in training, you can make up for by being diligent and being a hard worker. I'm just sure of that. Nothing in this world will bring success probably on a more regular basis than just plain old-fashioned hard work. Young people, listen very carefully. You want to succeed in life? Do not be afraid to sweat. So you all know, this world does not all work in air conditioning all the time. This world was not built on air conditioning. Young people, if you want to succeed, don't be afraid of getting blisters. Blisters, you could get these on your hands. It's a little spot on the skin where there's repetitive use of the hand. And that repetitive use wears the hand down. And it suddenly then, there's some moisture from inside the body, and it begins to puff up. And you'll look down there and you'll say, look at that. It's kind of puffy. You can squeeze it. You can pop it. Which is okay, but you got to be careful what you get on it after you pop it. Your first experience of popping a blister, and if you sweat on it, then that salt from the sweat, and that sweat, that's something that comes out of your body because you're working hard. If you get that sweat on the blister, it'll burn. But boy, what a good burn. America was built on the burn. It was. America was built on the burn. Our forefathers would be disappointed at the way people behave today, and we wonder, why can't I succeed? It's the government's fault. Look, hard work. I'll be real honest. Yeah, my daughter, and she is good at music. My wife, Sabrina, they're all, everybody in my family, they're good at music. I'm not. Well, JV's not. Thank God for JV. If they're all singing and they're going to do a special, we are never invited to participate. I can't sing. I'm not a good actor. I'm not funny. I'm not real smart. There is one thing that I had to do if I were going to survive, and I learned it very early in life. I'd have to work hard. There were things that came very easy for other people. Now, I remember times when even in school, there were people that would walk in and we were going to take a test and I would say, did you study hard? And they said, I studied for about 30 minutes. I'm thinking, 30 minutes? I studied for 8 hours. I got a B and they got an A. Now, I don't know what causes that, but I can tell you this. I wanted the A. And so I studied more the next time. I learned that if it didn't come easy, I could pay a price, and it could come hard. Then that means I would have to work extra. And I would have to put more energy into it. When I was young, I've not always been as fluffy as what I am right now. I was telling the guys on the golf course yesterday, Dr. John R. Rice called it being well upholstered. I'm a well upholstered man. But when I was young, I was skinny as a rail, like Jack. You know, Jack, be careful. You know, you could get sucked down the drain in the shower if you're not careful. I mean, Cassie would say, well, are you down there? Yeah, help. But I got to tell you, when you're a skinny rail, I don't know, anybody here ever bale hay? Baling hay is not for the weak-minded or the weak-bodied. And I can remember when I was just a skinny little thing, grabbing a bale of hay. Have you ever baled wet hay? It weighs more than you. I can remember, I watched and some big old farm boys, and I'd watch them grabbing that hay and throwing it up. Now, it wasn't bad throwing on the first stack on the wagon. But when you're about 8 or 10 bales up, and you're a scrawny little runt of a kid, I thought I was going to die. But I decided I will bale with the best of them. And it caused me to sweat. That's the water that comes out of your body. And I got blisters. That's the puffy things on your hands. I don't regret that at all. I don't regret it at all. You see, I do believe this. You say, preacher, I'm not real smart. Can you work hard? You say, preacher, I don't have a lot of talent. Can you work hard? You say, I'm not a real strong person. I'm not real, you know, I don't have a ton of muscle, but you can work hard. I've known people that have a lot of muscles that I could outwork. Not because of my body being stronger, but because of my will and my intent. I didn't let someone that was bigger make me think that I couldn't get the work done. So, if you want to succeed in any project, you need to properly prepare the best you can for that project. You secondly need to learn something about what is good to invest your faith in and what is a silly thing, or I call it good faith versus bad risk. Then you learn to work hard. Number four, I think it makes sense to set some logical goals. Set some logical goals. I love this verse. Paul said in Philippians 3:14, he said, I press toward the mark for the prize. What is that? There was something out there that Paul was going after. There was a mark, there was a goal, and there was a prize attached to that mark or goal. And Paul said, I press for it. What's that mean? He was pushing himself toward a goal. Goals can be good. I think one of the things that help people to succeed in any project is having some goals. Now, let me tell you how I think about goals. I think it's good to have some small goals, some quickly obtainable or reachable goals. Then, have some medium-range goals. Takes a little longer, takes a little more energy. It's not going to come as quick. Then, you have some large goals, some long-term goals, the ones that cost more, takes more time, more energy. But this is what you do. You let the small goals lead you to fulfilling the medium goals. Then you let the medium goals lead you to fulfilling the big goals. See, my goals are connected and they're part of a stair step of accomplishment. And if you think that way, you can get where you're going. If you ever take on a project and you say, this thing is so big, we can almost get discouraged. How could I get all this done? Well, why not decide what you can get done and you make that your first goal? Then you add to it. And before long, your goals are multiplying and your accomplishment is multiplying and you'll get to your final destination. Let each goal help you to reach the next level of goals. There are some projects that are way too big to do quickly. So then you must plan a schedule, set some goals. Short-range goals will help you reach the mid-range goals, which will help you to reach the big goals. You know, Colonel Sanders and Kentucky Fried Chicken, I wish I had time to tell you the whole story. They just started making chicken at a gas station. They're all around the world. And you say, how does a franchise like that make it? They start probably cooking in the backyard. And the neighbors came over and said, that's good. So they started them a little restaurant. They were doing fantastic if they made enough money to keep the doors open. And before long, it began to grow. And you say, well, I'll start out and I'll have 3,000 restaurants all around the world. No, probably not. You may have to start with one. But you can do one. And then you can add to it. And so, logical goals will help you to achieve your long-term big goal. And with every project that I've ever taken on, I have some small goals, I have some medium-range goals, and I have some big goals. For our church, I started with small goals. We've been able to do some of the medium-range goals. If I told you what the big goals were, you'd say, oh no, how could we do that? So don't ask. But have you noticed? We're getting there. We're getting there. It's happening, slow but sure. But part of it, part of what's happening is where we're going there in a very solid way. We're building. And remember, I want a big goal, so I start with a little one, and I build on it. And then I build a little more, and I build a little more. And my foundation is very much so strengthened. And that is the case with anything that you're doing. So, I've got to move on. I said, number one, be properly prepared. Number two, know the difference between good faith and bad risk. Number three, work hard. Number four, set logical goals. Number five, learn from your failures. Learn from your failures. Proverbs 24:16 says, a just man falleth seven times. A just man there, I think that could be a saved man, that could be a decent man. The word just could have multiple definitions, but it says he falleth seven times. If we could interpret that word fall for a moment, that's a failure, that's a trip up. I'm encouraged by that, because God said a just man, he may fall seven times. Now, let me tell you, you've got to learn from your failures. Where the problem comes in, when you're trying to succeed, is if you keep repeating the same failure over and over and over again. Now, I know the Bible says a just man falls seven times. That does not necessarily mean that he fell at the same thing seven times. I don't think that you could strongly tell me that's what that teaches. But even if you stumbled at something seven times, that's probably not real bad. How many times have you stumbled in your goal of reading your Bible on a regular basis? If it was only seven, I need to kiss your big toe. It might be the second coming of the Pope. Because we fail at things a lot. But the Bible says a just man, and there's a compliment in that. A just man falleth seven times. But let me tell you, if you and I want to succeed, if we want to start with those small goals and get to the big goal, if we really want to accomplish something big, then we've got to learn from our failures. Remember, those failures, I don't necessarily think they were there to destroy us. They could be there to train us. But if you're not learning from your training, then you're never going to get where you're going. So, you've got to learn from your failures. After a failure, evaluate, look for your mistake, and fix it. Failures examined, fixed, help lead to success. In other words, a man failed, and he 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 failed. And the last part of Proverbs 24:16 says, and riseth up again. So he failed seven times. And my last point in my sermon is don't quit. I'm going to get there in a minute. But he did rise up again. See, evaluate, then recalculate, then go back at it. So, if you want to do well and grow and succeed, you need to avoid failure. How am I going to do it? I will be properly prepared. How am I going to learn to do it? I'm going to know the difference in what is good investment of my faith and what is just a bad, silly risk. I'll learn to work hard. I'll set logical goals, small ones, medium range, and large ones. I'm going to learn from my failures, and I'm going to let my failures be a key to my success. Now, let me tell you something. You could cry about your failures, but tears don't fix things. Now, I'm for tears. Jesus wept. I'm for tears. I'm not minimizing tears. But you're crying around about your stupid mistake will not fix it. Your emotions will not fix your behavior. Your character will fix your behavior. Your obedience to the Scripture will fix your behavior. Listen, it's okay. It's okay if you cry. You could ask my kids. They could make a mistake and they could be crying. I'd say, okay, go ahead and cry. Now fix that. Well, I'm crying. All right, fix it while you cry. I don't care. Just fix it. You want to be happy and fix it? Okay. You want to cry and fix it? Okay. Matter of fact, at our house, you want to bleed? Fine, bleed, fix it. But you got to learn from your failures. Folks, where it's dangerous is repetitive, unfixed failure. I used to tell the young men that I trained in Bible college. I had lots and lots of young preacher boys that I trained. I told them, while you're in Bible college, I want you to come and make your mistakes while you're with me. I'll love you through the mistakes. I'll teach you. Make your mistakes with me. Don't go out there and be counseling some marriage in real life somewhere in the pastorate and make your mistake there. Come make your mistake with me and I'll help you. I knew they were going to make mistakes. And I wanted them to make those mistakes and get some of that out of their system so when they got out there on the field of battle, they knew what they were doing. I didn't want somebody, when they were shooting with real bullets, to kill somebody. I wanted to help them and I wanted them to be strong. But I got to tell you something. It's very hard to help people and it's very hard to succeed when you keep failing at the same thing over and over again. You've got to learn from your mistakes. Take your failures and turn them and to stepping stones. So, I'm going to give you my last point, and I've already told you. Number 6, don't quit. Don't quit. Proverbs 24, verse 16. That's where it said, a just man falleth 7 times. Thank God for that conjunction. That word and, it says, and riseth up again. So here's what you do. When you're trying to succeed at any project, if you get knocked down, the best advice I could give you is get up. Get up. You say we were trying in our marriage and we got knocked down. Get up. You say we were trying in our child rearing. We feel like we got knocked down. Get up. You say I was trying to learn to be a soul winner and I kind of failed. Get up. You say I was trying this or trying that and I tried in my business and I tried. Get up. Just get up. Listen. The one thing that you can do is get up. You say, well, what, Brother Owens, what am I going to do when I get up? Well, first of all, you got to get up. Just get up. You say, then what? You just go back through this order and figure out what's not in place and get it in place. Look, you don't have to be real smart to get back up. Brother Buck and I were talking earlier, what this verse teaches, a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. What it means is, if you want to succeed, you have to have a get up for every knockdown in your life. So you get knocked down once. What do? Get up. You get knocked down twice. What do? Get up. You get knocked down a third time. What do? Get up. You get knocked down a fourth time. What do? Get up. You get knocked down a fifth time. What do? Get up. You get knocked down a sixth time. What do? Get up. You get knocked down a seventh time. What do? Get up. And here is the key to success in the Christian life. It is one thing. You must have one more get up than you had knocked down, and you'll be standing at the end of the project. One thing. One more get up. That's it. I may get the tar knocked out of me before I go to heaven. But Jason, I just want to be up when it comes. When God says, Jeff, it's time to come to heaven, I want to be on the upside when it happens. You say, preacher, I get knocked down a lot. Okay. Just make sure you get up a lot then. How do you avoid failure in projects? I've given you six very simple thoughts. You prepare properly. You learn the proper use of faith. You work hard. You set goals, logical goals. You learn from your failures. And then you just don't quit.